Mr. New York, Mark Simone on WOR.
Well, we got lots to get to this hour. We'll get to President Trump. We'll get to Iran. There's some Chelsea Clinton dirt here. We'll get to Imus. We'll get to a lot. Bill O'Reilly will be with us a little later this hour. So let me get to this Chelsea Clinton stuff. Congratulations to Chelsea Clinton. She has beaten the Hunter Biden record for no-show jobs. Chelsea Clinton on the board of directors, getting $9 million to be on this board of directors, topping Hunter Biden's $8 million record from Burisma. Now, a lot of people think this might start to become a story, a big story, that they're calling it Chelsea's Burisma. It's actually the company IAC, which is a big American corporation. They own a lot of stuff, a lot of internets. They own a lot of the dating sites like Match.com and Tinder and all of that. It's Barry Diller, the great media billionaire Barry Diller. It's his company. He's a big Clinton supporter. And he's always been tangled up with those Clintons, you know, big liberal Democrat billionaire Clinton supporter. So at some point, they must have whispered in his ear, maybe you could take care of Chelsea. And suddenly Chelsea's on the board of this company, getting $9 million over the last few years. Now, remember, she has a history of no-show jobs. She had one for a couple of years at NBC News, where they gave her $600,000 a year to do nothing. She stinks on television. She's just horrible, so they couldn't use her. You know, a lot of these, when you see Fox News contributor or MSNBC contributor, those are high-paying jobs. Sometimes you get a couple hundred thousand a year, and if you're really one of the big ones on all the shows day and night, it can be $1 million a year or more. But $600,000 a year, that was a lot for a contributor at NBC News. But they would pay it to you if you could do a lot of shows. You could do The Today Show every week. You could do, two, three shows on MSNBC every day. They keep you busy. You do a lot of meet the press. It's a lot of work for these contributors. But she stunk. She was horrible on television, so they never used her. Maybe once a year, once every 6 months, if there was a big story about the Clinton family in the news, they would bring her on just for that, because she'd be perfect for that. But otherwise, just to talk, she was horrible. So somebody figured it out once that $600,000 a year worked out to like $120,000 an appearance. Just a no-show job at NBC News. And this IAC, this Barry Diller company. Now, Barry Diller also owns Expedia. In a massive coincidence, Expedia paid Chelsea Clinton $250,000 a year for a no-show job. But $250,000 is pocket change. That's just... what did Ralph Cramden used to say? A mere bag of shells in this politician world of putting the relatives on the payroll. So this is the reason for the impeachment. You know, they give you all these reasons about abuse of power and this and that. The real reason for all of this is when President Trump blew the whistle on the Biden family corruption, the kid with his no-show bagman, influence peddling job. When he blew the whistle on that, Democrats had a meltdown. They went nuts. Hey, and by the way, there's plenty of Republicans doing the same thing. If you go through that Congress, there's a million Democrats and a lot of Republicans cashing in on their office, profiteering off their office. They can't take the money personally, but you know what? Suddenly the son has a job, the daughter has a job, the brother-in-law's got a job, the wife has a big job. Hey, you go through that Congress, how many of their wives or husbands are getting massive government contracts or are on the boards of corporations for fortunes? It's going on all the time. That's why these politicians had a heart attack when they find out Donald Trump's going to expose the Biden family corruption, this no-show Burisma job. So remember they had this Adam Schiff 2 weeks of secret hearings in the basement? First of all, Adam Schiff is the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee. They're supposed to be working on intelligent matters. They should have been on the trail of Soleimani. They should have been looking at that. That's what they're supposed to look at, not fighting little political, going after their political enemies. But now they want to go to a Senate trial, only they don't have any valid charges. Obstruction of Congress is not a crime. It's even part of the president's job. He's supposed to obstruct Congress at times. Supposed to actually block Congress at times. Supposed to veto one of their bills or hold off on their spending or whatever. It's supposed to obstruct Congress. It's not a, you can't impeach somebody over that. The other one, abuse of power, the other article, so vague, it doesn't even mean anything. So that's why if they had anything valid, they'd file the charges in the Senate immediately. They're holding them because they know they'll just be tossed out. There's nothing there. The Senate will bring in a couple of real legal scholars, not these college people with the bow ties, but real actual government attorneys who will explain there's nothing here. So what they want to do, Schumer is calling for, when it gets to the Senate, they'll have an actual investigation with witnesses. Now, first of all, they claim they already did that. You know, they had all those idiots with the bow ties. Remember that wicked witch they had testify? That awful woman looked like Greta Thunberg's mother. The Vindman with the uniform. So if they didn't come up with anything with these witnesses, those 20 witnesses, what are they going to do with more witnesses? But Chuck Schumer pushing for more.
I'm waiting to hear it, Leader McConnell. Give a specific answer why these witnesses should not come forward. Don't call names. Don't finger point.
Well, he is one of the most ineffective talkers, speakers. Schumer is great when it comes to donor service. If you're a big donor, Democrat or Republican, you write those checks. He's right there for you when you need anything. But as far as a politician, as far as communicating with the public, this guy is the worst. I mean, think about it. This guy is the biggest Democrat, maybe the number one or two Democrat in all of Congress for years. You ever hear him talk about running for president? Never. He wouldn't even think of it. He knows he's not popular with the public. He's just the counters, but the public, forget it.
The Republican leader has yet to make one single argument why witnesses should not testify. One single argument.
We've already got the argument. You did all the witnesses. You had weeks of testimony. You had 25 witnesses. How many more witnesses do you need? You couldn't get anything with them. Now, this guy's no bargain either. McConnell is mumbling a turtle here.
We should welcome his death and its complication of Tehran's terrorism industrial complex.
But now, you might be saying, well, that's a different subject. Doesn't matter. You never know. What these two, you can never. Nobody's listening to anything they say. Two mumbling idiots.
Unfortunately, in this toxic political environment, some of our colleagues rushed.
Now, who's worse, him or?
His policies seem to be characterized by erratic, impulsive.
I think we have to vote Schumer the worst, because at least with McConnell, it sounds like he's just speaking extemporaneously. Whereas Schumer, he's always reading it. It sounds like they have to put it on an index card. In the car on the way over, he practices it once. He has to put on those Ben Franklin glasses. They look ridiculous. But again, he's always reading these things.
In my view, President Trump does not have authority to go to war with Iran.
First of all, he's the president of the United States. He has the authority to do anything a president can do. We haven't had a president go to Congress to get a resolution, to get approval for a war, I think, since 1941. Well, how long is that? That's about 80 years. The last 17 wars, the president decided on his own. So suddenly there's new rules here because it's Trump. Newspapers. You know, there's no more newspapers. I once in a while you see a newsstand. People, like kids today, they see a newsstand on the corner. They look at it. They don't know what it is. It looks strange to them. They see these things on these shelves, these papers, these magazines. They've never seen these before. They don't know what the hell they are. Nobody gets a physical print copy anymore, except a few older people. That's about it. So, you know, the daily news circulation is down to literally about a couple thousand people. That's it. The New York Post does a lot better, but although that's still a big website, the New York Post website, but nobody gets the physical paper anymore. And then they had these freebies that they would pass out at the subway stations. What was it called? The Metro. You know, it was like a free daily newspaper, sort of like a daily news. It was stuff from the Daily News and the Post printed up for free, and they would pass it out to passengers. So they've announced even they're going out of business. Even the free giveaway newspaper right in the subway station, handing it right to you, even that's going out of business. Nobody wants to physically hold a newspaper. They don't even know how to work it anymore. They don't know how you turn a page. No, they don't know any of this. Everybody has their phone. They want to just read it on their phone. It's much easier. It's much quicker. So that's the end of the print newspaper. And the worst thing would be if you're, and some of these guys were billionaires, if you were in the print business, you know, the guys that make it, the paper business, you know, guys who were in the paper industry made billions because millions and millions and millions of whatever they call those bundles of newsprint would be bought by newspapers and magazines. Nobody buys that stuff anymore. Even printing stuff at home. You know, if you're under 30, people under 30 have never owned a printer. They don't even know what a printer is. They've never even seen a printer. Nobody prints anything anymore. So, hey, we'll take some calls in a minute. 800-321-0710 is the number. Now, this guy made a false claim. You know, these anti-Semitic attacks all the time. But this guy made a totally false claim. Said he was attacked. Said they tried to stab him. He filed a false police report. He got caught. You know how he got caught? He was wearing an Apple Watch. He always wears his Apple Watch. The police took his Apple Watch, and the guy didn't realize that Apple Watch is monitoring your heart rate and your heartbeat at all times. So they took the watch, and they looked at it at the exact time that he claimed he was being attacked, and they tried to stab him, and they saw that his heart rate and his heartbeat was totally normal, never even went up at all, proving that he was not under attack, he wasn't being chased, he wasn't being beaten up, or somebody was trying to stab him. So if you're going to commit these crimes, we were talking about this with Joe Montana last hour, you know, you watch that show CSI, who the hell would be a criminal nowadays? When you see the technology, the science they can use to catch every criminal, it's unbelievable. So if you're a criminal now, you cannot wear an Apple Watch because it can work the other way around. If you claim you weren't the attacker, you weren't in a fight, you weren't doing, they can look at your watch and see that your heart rate went up at exactly that moment. So criminals, you're going to have to take that watch off. It just won't work anymore. Hey, Ricky Gervais, a big hero to everybody for that monologue at the Golden Globes. It was great. It's his last appearance as MC of the Golden Globes. He's not doing it anymore. So who are they going to get next time? They're looking at Tina Fey and Amy Poehler again. So there's nobody, they can't, today's comedians just aren't up to that. So they have to go back to the past for somebody else. The Oscars still can't exactly figure out who to have host it. It's a big problem. Hey, all, you know, when people talk about the worst first date ever, you know, all those dating apps, every woman's got a story about the worst first date. But when this guy showed up, he didn't look anything like his picture. This guy, and he got drunk. They've all got these horror stories about the worst first date ever. Well, here's the winner of all time. You can never top this one. This is Grindr, which is actually a gay dating site. But this is the worst first date ever. It's not funny, but he meets the guy. The guy kills him. Turns out he's a cannibal, cuts him up and eats him. It says he even grilled his testicles. I don't mean to make light of this. It's not funny. But if anybody ever tries to tell you, I got the worst first date story ever, this one wins hands down, goes right into the Hall of Fame, and that's it. Speaking of Hall of Fame, Tom Brady, he's a free agent right now. A lot of speculation. They're all terrified in Boston that he's going to leave. He's going to, what does he do? Does he stay with the Patriots one more year, two more years? Obviously, it's not going to be a long-term contract, but another team to get Brady might offer him the highest amount ever in the history of football. Now, Brady is not a greedy guy. He hasn't been in the past. He actually could have gotten a lot more money than he's been getting. He actually agreed not to ask for that much more because he wanted the team to have enough money to hire great players to play with him. But when you're at the end of the career, you're not going to get any more contracts. He knows this is his final contract. Maybe he'll go for a ton of money. He's not a greedy guy. You'll notice Tom Brady, biggest quarterback in football. You don't see him on any TV commercials. In his whole career, he's maybe he's done one or two commercials, and only because it was a sponsor of the Patriots and they asked him to do it. But this is a guy who could be on 500 TV commercials, and he's not. He's not a greedy guy, so we'll see what he does. We'll take some calls in a minute. Bill O'Reilly coming up in a couple of minutes. Check out the webpage. If you're ever in an argument, you're trying to convince somebody of something, you can't change their mind. What's the problem? Well, you're probably doing it wrong. Watch this video. It'll show you the real techniques you got to use in an argument to actually change somebody's mind. Now, watch this. Here's a remake of Who's the Boss? The reboot starring Donald Trump. Also, did Bill Clinton really have a chance to kill bin Laden in 98 and let him go? Yes. Watch this video. He admits to it. It's all up on the webpage. Go to 710WOR.com/Mark. 710WOR.com/Mark.
Mark Simone
on 710 WOR.
Well, we'll take some calls. 800-321-0710 is the number. So when Imus passed away, everybody was wondering what everybody would say about him. There were, to be honest about Imus, brilliant on the air. One of the two or three greatest radio hosts ever in history. Innovative, pioneering, an absolute genius at radio. Off the air, a nightmare. A monster to be around, the world's worst boss, yelling, screaming, cursing at everybody, sometimes pulling his gun on people, that kind of stuff. But most people that work with him, most people, you know, if you worked at a station with him or a network, you just stayed the hell out of his way. You just never went near him. You know, show was over, everybody would run and hide. And then the people that actually had to be in the studio or the control room learned to just tune it out, just it would happen and... you know, after a few years, you get used to it. It was just like white noise. You just didn't hear it anymore. But it was interesting when he passed away. A lot of people, you would wait to see how they were going to play it. Were they going to just be nice and not say anything bad? A guy just passed away. And that's what most people did. Charles McCord, of course, he was with Imus the longest. He was the best at dealing with it. He finally left. There was always a story of some dispute over money or something like that. So he just left. But he was as gracious. That's the way he always is, as gracious and nice as he could be on the air. Then there's Howard Stern, who finally returned from vacation yesterday. And everybody was wondering, because there's this new Howard Stern, this new nice Howard Stern, this nice, soft, fuzzy, warm, sweet Howard Stern. But... on the subject of Imus, oh, there was the old Howard Stern right back. He talked about him like he was Soleimani, like the world is a better place without. Look at Noam over there laughing. Noam was in the line of fire quite a bit.
He was my own Soleimani, Imus was, yeah.
Yeah, now you might be saying, oh, you can't talk about the guy you just passed. I loved Imus. He was a mentor to me at one point. I used to fill in for him like 10 weeks a year. He was great. But you did not want to be in the room with him. You didn't even want to, even in the hallway, if he was going to pass you by. You'll verify this.
Yes. When he moved to Texas, everybody was pretty happy.
If I said to management, I like to do my show from somewhere else. I'll do it by remote. They'll say, well, we can't do that. You know, it's always a fight with every host. When he said, I like to do my show from Texas. Great, we'll get you the equipment. Here you go. Just to get him in another state. It was perfect. He was one of those... Ted Brown used to be like that on the old WNEW. He's one of those hosts where he was on in the morning till 10. At about 10 minutes of 10, every executive, everybody in the building would leave the building. Because when he got off the air at 10, he'd walk down the hall looking for somebody to fight with, yell at. So everybody would leave the building for about an hour. So the same thing with Imus. Let's go to Bill in New York. Hey, Bill.
Hey, Mark. Thanks.
Yes, Bill.
Just got a quick one to tell you. I grew up on the Upper East Side in NYC, and so I met a lot of rich kids.
Yeah.
And this one guy, his dad was a Goldman Sachs executive, you know, top level. So 3 summers ago, he took us to the Hamptons for 4th of July, you know, weekend.
Yeah.
And guess who was sitting there surrounded by a dozen bankers?
Who?
Chucky Schumer.
Oh, you know, that's what Schumer does all day. Yeah, that's all he does all day. I've watched this. Schumer spends all his time. He's not the only one. You know, we've got a couple other senators do the same thing. Just servicing donors. He's there for donors. It is a difference. If there's a big, huge event where he's going to appear and be the speaker, and I've been the MC a lot. I've seen this happen. And there's the audience, all these voters. Got no time for them. He makes sure he's not in the room. Just shows up just in time for the speech, leaves right after. Although he's not really leaving. What you do is you set up a private room on the side there where all the top donors and the CEOs are. He'll go in and meet with them and take pictures with them. Trump is the opposite, by the way. Has no use for those guys. When he does a rally or does an event, he'll set up a thing on the side where he'll meet with some cops, firemen, teachers. But that's the way, I hate to say it, and there's a lot of Republicans like that too. But especially Schumer and Gillibrand, they are there for the donors. If you're a big money donor writing checks, they are there for you. Regular voter, busy, can't talk. Let's go to Max in New York City. Hey, Max. Max? Oop, we lost Max. All right, let's go to John in Long Island. Hey, John.
Hi, Mark. Good morning.
Yes, John.
You brought up the point of people not having printers. I just went through a thing with my phone company for my cell phones and my cable box.
Yeah.
But they want me to print the return label to send the unit back if they replace it under warranty.
Yeah.
And I keep telling them I don't have a printer. I've been through this 6 phone calls I made to my...
Well, most people don't have a printer. What you do now when you have to do that, you take a picture with your phone and you just send them the picture.
Well, no, they want the physical phone back. They want me to ship it back to them because they replaced it under warranty.
All right, what is this, like an iPhone 2 and you're arguing about this?
Well, yeah, with that.
Okay, well, get up to that 3. You'll see it's a really improved phone. Let's go to Dave in Chicago. Hey, Dave.
Yes, good morning, Mark. There's a report in the New York Times that says music companies are making plans to put a lot of deceased artists on tour. They're going to reanimate them as holograms. So you can see Jim Morrison and The Doors and Janis Joplin and Prince and Michael Jackson. But I don't know if their fans will actually go for that.
No. First of all, their fans are now 75 and they're in assisted living homes. And if you think you're going to get millennials or people in their 20s to watch Jim Morrison, you could have to spend a year trying to explain to them who the hell Jim Morrison is, and it's not going to mean anything to them. It's just the most outdated stuff. One more call. Vinny in Massapequa Park. Hey, Vinny.
Hey, Mark. Yeah, you were kind of stumbling over with those newspaper changes. I used to ride the Long Island Railroad again on that godforsaken subway as a laborer in New York, and I used to hand out the AM New York and the Metro. And I like the AM New York. I like the coursework because it's not that hard, you know, Mark. So yeah. I remember those days. But
yeah, that's what I want to think about the USA Today. Boy, I love that crossword puzzle. It's the only one I can do. I can finish it. I can do it in ink. Anyway, when we come back, Bill O'Reilly will be with us next.
Can't hear the whole show live? Get the rest with Mark Simone on demand. Get his podcast at 710WOR.com/Mark.
Mr. New York, Mark Simone.
On 710 WOR.
Well, Bill O'Reilly, number one television host for decades. Number one best-selling nonfiction author in the world today. Have you got his latest book, The United States of Trump? Best book ever on Donald Trump. The United States of Trump. You can order that. Make sure you sign up and become a subscriber at BillO'Reilly.com. You get the TV show. You get the column, BillO'Reilly.com. Bill O'Reilly, how you doing?
Good, Mark. Happy New Year.
You too. If President Obama had gotten Soleimani, what do you think would have happened? Pulitzer Prize, Peace Prize, all that stuff for him?
Never would have happened, though. And that wasn't Obama's style. I don't think the Democrats would have said anything against him. And I think it's fairly obvious this is a partisan political play. But you got to be careful. I mean, this doesn't do Donald Trump any good to whip up a violent conflict with Iran that's ongoing. It's not going to help his reelection to do that. Americans have had enough of Afghanistan, Iraq, Iran, Middle East. They've had enough. Now, they understand that if Iran attacks an American embassy, which it did for 2 consecutive days, that replying in a violent way to the guy who directed that is certainly within context. You don't have to support it, but you can't say that it's some kind of mad, irresponsible thing. That's a lie. But you got to be, I think Donald Trump has to be very careful in how he deals with Iran.
All right. You wrote the best book, Getting Into the Head of Donald Trump. What do you think's going on in his mind? You think this is the one time he's going to be very careful, very disciplined?
Well, I was surprised because in the past, whenever you would ask him, well, what are you going to do to punish a certain country or a certain individual, he would always say, well, I'm not going to tell you. Yeah. Even up to the radio interview that I did a few weeks ago with him, I'm not going to tell you. I'm not going to let the enemy know what I'm going to do. And then he turns around and he says, well, I got 39 sacred sites that I can obliterate. I thought that was a mistake. I think he should just basically say, look, we don't want this. The United States doesn't want it. We're willing to talk to the mullahs, but we're not going to let people attack our embassies. That's U.S. soil. And you're not going to do that and get away with it. If he just keeps it into that framework, he'll be all right. But flailing around saying, well, if you do this, then I'm going to blow up some mosque someplace, that's not going to help him.
Well, but if you're Rand, you know you got to retaliate in some way or you totally lose face. So isn't maybe sending them a message like, be careful with your retaliation?
They already know that.
Yeah.
They already know. So, again, he can say, excuse me, if you attack us again, then you're going to pay a price. But I would keep it there.
Yeah. Yeah, you got the same thing I have, don't you?
Yeah, I don't know what this thing is, but it's not bad. I'm running around and...
but it never goes away.
Right, it stays forever. Once you get old, you know, this is what happens. You're just tortured. Yeah. But no, I'm not whining. This is not bad at all.
Hey, speaking of torture, this Chuck Schumer and these Democrats, I think either file the impeachment charges or stop talking about it.
You know, I heard you last half hour on Schumer. The Democrats really don't know what to do. This is, you know, there's always more to whatever Pelosi and Schumer say than meets the eye. All right, there's always something else behind it. They really don't know what to do now because they have no strong candidate to go up against Trump. Bloomer is making some noise with his massive ad campaign. He's up to about 7% in the polls. They really don't know what the plan is going to be, and that frightens all politicians. So what Schumer is trying to do is drag this impeachment thing out as long as he can drag it out and hope that a Bolton or somebody will come in and say, yeah, Trump did this, it was totally irresponsible. Hope that something new will occur. That's what this is all about. The Democrats know he's not going to be convicted in the Senate. They know they don't have a strong presidential candidate up against Trump. So they want to drag the thing out. If you look at the Constitution, it's not the Senate's responsibility to investigate impeachment. It's the House. They already did it, as you pointed out. Hmm. So let's just vote on it, right? That's the way the founders set it up, and that's what should happen.
Now, Bill O'Reilly, one of the reasons you're always number one, you have your finger right on the average American voter, what they really think in the heartland. Don't most of them say to themselves, I do want that Joe Biden thing looked at. I could see why he wanted to investigate it.
I don't think there's any enthusiasm for Joe Biden anywhere. I think that the Democrats who are supporting him to the tune of about 30% say the other socialists cannot beat Donald Trump, so I'm going to throw in with Biden. They're watching Bloomberg, but Bloomberg, his strategy, I mean, I'd be amazed if he pulls it off because he's not competing in Iowa and New Hampshire, and he's not going to compete in Nevada. He's going to do everything on Super Tuesday. But Joe Biden's not an elector candidate. He's not somebody that people are going to be, oh, I got to get to the polls to vote for Joe.
Yeah.
People know he's corrupt. They do. They know. But, you know, the Trump hatred is very strong in many precincts in this country. He's looking at the electoral map. Trump won 30 states last time, Hillary Clinton 20. Trump could take a few states back with the strong economy, places like Nevada, Colorado. He could take those where he lost them last time. But the Democrats have a shot, you know, in some places like Wisconsin and Michigan. So it's going to be a very close, intense situation coming up in November.
Everybody should go to BillO'Reilly.com. Sign up there, and you can get the TV show, the column, BillO'Reilly.com. You wrote a great piece about, and this is one of the most frightening things, which we're not really paying enough attention to, people fleeing New York. This is a big problem.
Yes. And it's going to get worse because there are two things happening here. My mother lived in a small Levittown house her whole life. And as she retired and got into her 80s, she would have had to have moved out of New York State had I not paid her property tax bill. All right? She could not have afforded it. I mean, with a son like me who has assets, I paid all her bills, so she could have. But if she didn't have a son like me, she would have been forced out of her home. That's happening to millions of New Yorkers. They cannot afford to live here because of the onerous taxation. That's number one. And then this climate has changed into a very permissive Now we're not going, if you punch a police officer, punch him. We're not going to require cash bail. You go into the police station. They take you there in handcuffs. You fill out some forms. They give you a citation. You're out the same day. That's anarchy. And the police know it. And the folks know it. So if you can move to Florida and cut your tax bill in half, and if you can go into a place that will not permit attacks on police and open narcotics dealing near schools, as New York State will now permit, then a lot of people are going to do that, and they are.
Yeah, but when all these people leave, we now lead the nation in people leaving, and these companies and guys like Carl Icahn, that shrinks our tax revenue, our tax base. So
big, right. So then they have to raise taxes more because Cuomo now has a $6 billion shortfall. So how is he going to do that? And now, you know, every time it turns around, there's another entitlement that Cuomo gets behind. He knows that. He knows what he's doing. He's bankrupting the state. And then he's going to turn to the federal government for help when the state defaults. So this is irresponsible governance. But look, the people in New York have voted these people in. The Democrats control the House in Albany and the Senate. And the same thing is happening in California. It's identical. And the only reason California doesn't lead the league in people leaving is because they're replacing them with foreign nationals, low-skilled workers. Whereas New York, we're not replacing them as quickly. But half of the population of New York City is foreign-born, 50% of it. That's going to be 70% in the next decade. So you want a third world? This is what's happening.
Oh.
Keep it up.
Well, thanks for cheering us up today.
Hey, you know, it's my job to keep an eye on them all. And the best election coverage, Mark, on BillO'Reilly.com. Thank you for mentioning it. But we are really going to kick some serious butt in covering this election very fairly. No rooting, but just the facts, because it's the most important election of our lifetimes by far.
Make sure you sign up at BillO'Reilly.com. You can get the TV show, the column, and get the book, The United States of Trump. You can just go to BillO'Reilly.com. You'll see everything there. Bill O'Reilly, thanks for being with us.
All right, thanks again. Always enjoy it, Mark.
All right, take care.
Bye.
Also, everybody, check out the webpage. You've got some great stuff up there. Now, you're arguing with somebody. You're trying to convince them. You're trying to change their mind. How come it never works? Watch this video. It shows you what you're doing wrong and the techniques you have to use to actually convince somebody of something, to actually change their mind. Also, watch this. The Who's the Boss reboot, starring Donald Trump. And, yes, Bill Clinton, they had Bin Laden. They were watching him with a drone, 1998. He made the decision to let him live. That led to 9/11. Watch this video. Here's Bill Clinton admitting to letting them go. It's all up on the webpage. Go to 710WOR.com/Mark. 710WOR.com/Mark.